Blog Talk Radio.
Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
All right, Mike, it is another episode of Red vs. Blue, Friday Night Football. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Red vs. Blue, High Stakes Radio, wherever you may be. Thanks for making us part of your night. I am Scott Atkins, team legacy in the world of high stakes fantasy football, and as always, the Big Blue co-host from Brandenburg, Kentucky, Michael Trent. Mikey, we have the wild card round out of the way. It's now time for the divisional round, and it is a very exciting 8 teams we have left in the National Football League.
Yeah, exactly, Scott. And, you know, we look forward to this weekend. I hear on sports radio stations, whatever, talking about the most exciting weekend in sports. And it is one of the most exciting weekends, let's face it, because these teams, they're fighting for a chance to go to a conference championship, which will eventually take you to the Super Bowl. So, this is going to be a barn burner, I guess you could say, for every team involved. There's a lot of different spreads, high spreads, in my opinion, but there's a lot of different things involved. But it's going to be a lot of fun for every team and everybody that's involved in any type of playoff contest. For instance, Scott, you know, like to talk about that a little bit.
Oh, we're going to get to all of that and more, Mikey. I wanted to tell you, you got a shout-out in the chat room already from Sports Betting Man. He says, yo, Scott and Mike, so good to see Lance back in the chat room at Red vs. Blue. 347-324-5404 is the number. The chat room here at Red vs. Blue is sponsored by fftoolbox.com. Got to have the ad here. We'll get the little ad cash going. We've came a long way here, Mikey. For over 15 years, the largest independent fantasy site in the country, home of free content, ranking advice, and breaking news. Go to fftoolbox.com for all your fantasy needs. Okay, got that out of the way. You know, they do have, I was looking on the site the other day, we have PGA golf rankings, Mike, on Toolbox. Did you know there's fantasy golf out there?
Well, I knew there was fantasy golf, but I didn't know about the rankings. What about them?
Matt Kuchar is that how you say it? Kuchar or Kuchar?
Kuchar.
Okay. Kuchar is the number one ranked golf guy that we had on here. This was for the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. So I guess every time there's a golf tournament, there's somebody, one of our writers, Eric McClung, goes in and ranks the golfers for the tournament.
Nice.
Yeah. Learn something new every day. They have NASCAR, college football. Your guys are getting ready for fantasy baseball. They do have a lot of rankings of fantasy baseball on there. And obviously known for their fantasy football stuff. But it's interesting that the mock drafts are getting a lot of attention on the site right now. 387 mock drafts have been performed by FF Toolbox users. It's pretty – I didn't know mock drafting was that popular, Mike. But they get on here, and Jeff has this nice little – where he makes it real easy for you. You just click it, and it says make your own mock draft. You click on it, and then you can drag and drop the players and slide them into the right spots for the right teams, and you can kind of there's a prediction contest that goes on every year. So if you're into that kind of thing, and I've never done it before, but if you're into that, you know, and you like to kind of play around with the mock draft before it, you ought to go there, check it out. It looks kind of cool.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm getting ready to experience something tomorrow that I've never experienced before. And it's, you know, baseball is football's fun. Baseball is difficult. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, like I was telling you before the program started, Scott Atkins, Michael Tran here on Red vs. Blue. I couldn't tell you a single pitcher's name. Now, you told me Justin Verlander. Okay, I know that name. I don't think I've ever seen him actually in person, because if there's ever a baseball highlight, I kind of flip the channel, you know, and then I use that little sidebar on ESPN, and it kind of lets you know what's kind of coming up next. And when I see that baseball is coming up, I just go ahead and flip it, because I don't want to see it. That was one of the greatest inventions, by the way, of TV, that little sidebar on ESPN. But give me another name. Let me see if I've heard it. Give me another name.
Okay, let's go Miguel Cabrera.
I have heard of that guy. Is he a American League or National League?
Okay, he just hit the Triple Crown for the first time since 1967 when Carl Yastrzemski did it. It had been almost 40 years that the Triple Crown has been. You know what the Triple Crown is?
I'm embarrassed to say I don't. I'm not a baseball guy.
Okay. The Triple Crown is you lead your league in batting average, home runs, and RBI in all three categories.
Wow.
You led the whole thing. It's the first time it's done since 1967, Carl Yastrzemski. Miguel Cabrera did it last year. He plays for the Detroit Tigers.
Wow. You know, we do have a couple of NFL games we could talk about instead of baseball. But hey, good luck on that draft. I know it's their first year, the inaugural FBPC. How do they say it? FPBC?
FBPC.
FBPC. Okay, I always get the letters confused. Okay, well, good luck with that. It sounds like a really fun time to be spending your Saturday during. Will that draft be over with before the game start? I mean,
oh, absolutely. The draft is at 11 a.m. It should last only about 3 hours. It's only 32 rounds.
What's the timer per pick?
Minute and a half.
Minute and a half.
Yep.
And 14 teams, 32 rounds. So let me get the calculator out. Carry the 1, 14, 32. That's 448 picks times 1.5. That's 672 minutes possible divided by. That's an 11-hour draft if everybody uses their timer. Is that right, Wayne?
It won't. It'll be about 3 hours.
Oh, wow. You got to be a real diehard. Well, fortunately for us, we do have diehards here tonight on Red vs. Blue. Henry Muto won the National Fantasy Football Online Championship. He'll be with us in just a few minutes. $100,000. He's a friend of our program, an original crew member here at Red vs. Blue. We're excited for Henry and excited to get to know him a little bit better. Come on in and be a guest here on Red vs. Blue and talk about some Dynasty stuff. We've got some Dynasty trades going on. Dynasty's kind of in the full swing of things. We've got some very cool Dynasty announcements that are going to be happening here in the next couple of weeks. Don't want to let the cat out of the bag just yet, but it will be a lot of fun for our players. And then we have, it's a Fat Tire Friday here on Red vs. Blue. Let me get that out of the way. If you want to have a question for Henry or Scott or Mike, email the show at Red Blue Radio, the Gmail inbox, redblueradio@gmail.com. Twitter at Red Blue Radio. We're on iTunes. You can download the podcast or the MP3 and have a shout or a listen if you can't make or you have to leave for the show. This show is sponsored by V2 Cigs, the nation's leading electronic cigarette. Mike, it's freedom, baby. It's all about freedom. I've seen about a 30% reduction since they sent me this in the mail, and I'm pretty stoked. The wife is happy. The kids obviously will be happy if I can put those things down. And 30% reduction since I got this in the mail. I'm looking forward to freedom once again. We will be out at the FSTA, the Fantasy Sports Trade Association, January 21st and 22nd in Las Vegas. Get to hobnob around with all the industry guys and cats out there and hopefully have a couple of things happen for us at the World Championship. We also will be in Vegas again a couple weeks later for the Super Bowl, Mike, where we will hand Matt Bailey a check for $200,000 accompanied, and that's just for the photo. We actually have a big pile of cash, this big bag of cash that is going to be released to us, and then we're going to kind of push it his way on a draft table and make it kind of cool, you know, and the Mirage is really going all out of their way to announce it and to make it a big deal as much as they can for a little bit of publicity for Matt and his family. His brother's coming out, so it'll be a very fun time. Congratulations to Matt Bailey, our fantasy world champion. First year, man. Pretty exciting for Matt.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty cool. I mean, anybody that wins an event like yours or any event that's going on, you know, I mean, he had to be sitting on the edge of the seat the entire time. But congrats, Matt. I mean, that's awesome stuff.
We also have let's run down the crew here, the chat room. We got Tupacker in the chat room. Ali Fontana, Electric Relish. We're going to talk about him in a second. Fantasy QB is back in business. Henry Muto, our guest, is here. IPS Driver. Rampo Saw, 11671. SBFFC. And as previously mentioned, Sports Betting Man. So it's a very good crew here in the chat room at Red vs. Blue. SBFFC, Mr. Brian, Dr. Brian Harwood, did win our mid-stakes online championship, $10,000. He just put in the chat room that he just received his check. Very glad to hear that, Dr. Harwood, our mid-stakes champion. Very well represented there. And we do have some opportunities coming up on Sirius Radio. We have a few contacts that have developed recently, and we will be making some guest appearances on Sirius. And our players are invited. And one of the names that I thought of was Dr. Brian Harwood has a radio station in Kentucky already, Mike. You're aware of that program. He has a very good radio voice, good old Southern boy, and they're excited to hear from for us to put him in contact with the guys at Sirius. So lots of good stuff coming up, Mike. We have the playoff round to talk about. We have Henry Muto coming on in just a few minutes. Anything else that I left out here, Mike, before we get rolling here?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm glad to hear that Brian Harwood, he's in the chat room and things. I just want to give a shout-out real quick to Brian and thank you for the Bo Pick'em series that he did. It was fun. Obviously, I finished second. I think, Eric Balkman, he finished fourth in that range, but finished second, got a little cash from it, and I appreciate it, Brian. And any contest that you run, which you normally do, just keep shooting them our way, and we'll continue to get in them. And good luck with yours, and we'll have a lot of fun with them.
Mike, we also have an exciting partnership to announce, and we're going to be breaking that down here in the next couple of days, if not tomorrow. We at the earliest, we'd like to see it happen, and I'm going to kind of leak it here, but. It's kind of an exciting time here. Dave Koken, nationally renowned sportscaster from ESPN Las Vegas. He's a radio host there. He's also a featured columnist for several national publications since 1993. He's given us a very unique opportunity to publish his coveted game day previews and predictions right here at fftoolbox.com. Dave was voted the 2004 and 2006 Nevada Sportscaster of the Year by the National Sports Writers and Sportscasters Association. So it's a very exciting day for us here at Toolbox. We can't wait to share the information with you. If you enjoy this type of thing, it's a unique approach to the game breakdowns. It's so revered on the web, I'm telling you, that other sites, they charge literally thousands of dollars per year for this service. And, you know, we've been working on this for a while, but our team is still in shock that he's going to give his picks to all of us until further notice, absolutely free of charge. So, you know, you may be asking, what do we do with that? You know, I can only answer, do with it what you will. You know, if you're going to use it for your fantasy breakdowns, or maybe you have a little a bookie on the side or something like that, whatever you want to do, feel free to use it or for fun. So we'll be discussing Dave's picks on our message board. We'll also be discussing them on Red vs. Blue Weekly. You know, many people have reached out to us in the past asking for expert game predictions, and we've refrained from doing so, but Dave is one of the true insiders of sports, and so it's really a unique, special opportunity for us, and you'll read it in his upcoming game breakdowns, Mike. He sees games from a different perspective than we do, I think. I mean, just being in the business that long, you live it, you breathe it every day. You know, he kind of hears about everything going on, and so we're very excited to bring the predictions to you. You'll find his daily pick under the What's New section right on our homepage. So we hope you guys really enjoy getting to know Smokin' Dave Koken. I'll go ahead and leak his pick that he sent me already for tonight. I think this game is right underway right now. He had the Lakers plus six. I know they've been on a downside, and so it's very surprising that this is his play of the day. You get what you pay for, and this is one of his bigger games. He said it's one of those times where they've been the biggest flop of the season, right? I mean, they're in danger of making playoffs entirely if at this point. So, and now tonight they play Oklahoma City, in the Staples Center. So, you know, which Lakers team shows up? Is that game even started yet? I don't even know.
That game started at 10:30, Scott, and just to kind of coattail what you're saying about Dave, he's going to be very sharp. The thing about that you have to realize about handicappers and things like that is they're going to go through up swings, down swings, but the guy, I mean, if he was voted that good in Vegas for that, you know, that many years, it's several times, he's going to be solid. So, you know, it's just you just have to go with your instinct, but you have to also listen and understand the guys that work hard and research these things, just like Dave does.
Yeah, we're real excited about it. Again, Lakers plus six is the play. So check that out. You could see if that covers tonight, and he will be giving it out every day, one of his strong picks, his strongest pick to us at fftoolbox.com, which is pretty, it's a unique honor for us to be involved with Dave and his ESPN radio affiliate program that he has out there in Las Vegas. So pretty cool stuff there. And he's a really good guy and a sharp cat when it comes to the daily prognosticating, so to speak. So Mike, I'm going to go ahead and bring in our guest of the evening, Henry Muto. Again, the $100,000 winner of the NFFC Online Championship. This was not an easy contest. When you're talking about the guys at Greg Ambrosius and the guys at Stats, we're very, very, very happy for Henry. And let's just find out a little bit more about this contest and this victory. Henry, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
We read you loud and clear, my man. Welcome to Red versus Blue. Thank you for being on, my man. And congratulations on your big score.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Mike, for having me on. I've been looking forward to this for a couple of days. And, it's a great feeling being the champion, something I've been striving for 23 years. That's how long I've been playing fantasy football, but got into the high stakes in 1997. And actually started with, it wasn't really high stakes, it was Sports Buff, not sure if you guys ever heard of that. But it was a small salary cap contest where you finished in the top eight out of like a couple thousand people in 97, and it grew into like 10, 15, 20,000 people at the end of the 90s. You got to go to Vegas and do a little draft in the playoffs and try to win a grand prize of like 10 or 15,000. Of course, in the 90s, that was huge. And then that, of course, went away for a while. And then 2003, I jumped in a contest, Fantasy Jungle, and that was my high-stakes contest till 2008. And that went away. Jumped in the Wyckoff, did that till 2010, and that went away. And then I got into the NFFC and the FFPC. So that's pretty much my high stakes in fantasy. I started one league in 1990 for a little local league, and that grew into about four leagues by the middle of the 90s that I was running. But the high stakes definitely is a world of difference, you know, playing against your fellow employees and friends compared to the guys like you and everyone else who really know what the heck they're doing, you know?
Oh, that's the start of it, Mike and Dave or Henry. You know this as well, man. When you're in your local leagues, you feel like you're on top of the world. You're invincible. Then you get out there and you find out that wow, there's a lot of people that think like I do and research like I do, put a lot of time into it like I do, and then the playing field starts to even up a little bit, doesn't it? So then it becomes about how can you set yourself apart. So tell us a little bit about that. How did you set yourself apart going into this online championship and make this team? I went ahead and posted the roster for everybody to see it. How in the world did you set yourself apart with this team? How did it happen?
what's pretty incredible, actually, is I walked out of this draft saying this is my worst team I drafted all season. It's incredible. Nothing went right in the draft. I didn't get any of the players I really wanted. it was my very first draft in the NFFC. I had done several FFPC drafts to that point. And then that was my very first draft in the NFFC, and it was on the Monday, 2 days before the season started. And I drew the seventh pick, which was like my last KDF, you know, preference, KDS preference. I wanted one of the top three picks, really wanted one of the stud running backs. If I couldn't get them, my next guy was Calvin. My next guy was Rodgers. And Calvin fell to sixth, and I had the seventh pick. And when he went sixth, I was like in no man's land. I had my tier sheet I always make up for every draft, and I had five guys I wanted, and then it was to no man's land the next tier. I would have rather had picked 12 and 13, you know. So I did something I never do. I take a quarterback in the first round. I hardly ever do that. Just the value just isn't there, even at 6 points. So grabbing Tom Brady didn't really give me any kind of advantage, I didn't think. But I didn't like any of the backs or the receivers there. And then second round comes around. I grabbed Gronkowski, which I thought was a pretty good pick. But tight ends, you know, in a one-point PPR league, it's so easy to get a tight end later, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth round. And then third round, A.J. Green just kept falling and falling. One pick before me, he went. And I was just like, oh, really? Come on, you know. But I grabbed Lynch, who had fell to the third round by that time because he was having the back spasms. And I think that really, you know, he exploded in the final 3 weeks. That was huge for my team, getting Lynch.
Lynch has been a monster, man. And, Mike, I'm sure you have some questions for Henry, but we're going to spin this off into a dynasty discussion as well. Lynch was traded in a dynasty league today, the 1250 Dynasty. The dynasty trade we want to discuss with you, Henry, is Lynch and Darius Heyward-Bey and a fifth-round rookie pick. On the other side, it was Demaryius Thomas and Ryan Broyles. Which side do you like there and why?
I think that's a pretty good trade for both teams, depending on what you need. If you really need a running back, you know, I can see doing it. Because I had a couple of dynasty leagues that just missed getting second place because I literally had no running backs for the playoffs. And if you are good at running back, I definitely could see getting Thomas. I love that guy. He's definitely a top five dynasty wide receiver, I think, right now. So
yeah.
All things being equal, I would probably lean towards Thomas, assuming, you know, you're still going to have two really decent running backs.
Mike?
I kind of agree there. I mean, Demaryius Thomas, his upside, so to speak, I mean, is going to be huge. Marshawn Lynch, I mean, he's still going to be around, still going to be fine, but it just depends on, you know, which team needs which. Which owner, do they need the running back, do they need the wide receiver? So it may work out perfect for both, actually.
I have Demaryius Thomas ranked as my number four dynasty wide receiver, just behind the Calvin, the Green, and the Julio. And I'm almost kind of contemplating the Julio. I love him as a player, but will the opportunity ever be there for him? You know, how long is it going to take for the Roddy to step aside and for him to get his chance to be that shining number one? I mean, when you have guys like Dez Bryant and Percy Harvin when healthy and Brandon Marshall, I mean, it seems like those guys are in a better opportunity than a guy like Julio Jones, who it's going to take a while for him to get that top spot in Atlanta, as evidence, you know, this year. Roddy's still the man there. And, well, actually, they're kind of equals, you know, but it takes away from them, either one of them being really the number one guy. So I like the Demaryius side. Lynch and the running backs, they kind of age. You get those carries on those backs. You got to be careful about those backs. I have Lynch somewhere in that 10-12 range, but, you know, obviously you like the younger guys, the Alfred Morrises, those guys that are coming up, and they don't have nearly the carries on them. But Lynch is still a young guy, so I think it's a pretty even trade as well. But, Henry, let's get back to your special year. And again, I think this is one of the more special teams. I don't think this can go too overstated here, but so for one person to have two teams in the top five in a national contest, it's only happened, I think, one other time. I think Dave Hubbard that, you know, in one of the first years or last years of WCOP or one of the first years of FFPC, one of those years, he had two teams up there, and so did Rob Zarzicki, I think. So it's a very elite club that you're in, man. Very rarely do we see one guy have two teams, and they're two completely different teams that you did so well. And how many teams were in that contest?
1,872.
Gee!
Wow!
1,800 teams, wow. Two in the top five. And talk about that day on Sunday. You know, you're sitting there. You know you have a chance at 100 grand. Tell us what's going on in your day. You decide, you wake up on Sunday, and this is how you're going to handle it. Obviously, there were some games on Saturday, so start us there. Because Saturday, I know that Atlanta played Detroit, right? That was a big fantasy game. Was that game impactful for you?
For that game, actually, I'd go back to week 13, all the way back to week 13 real quick.
All right.
My team was 9-3. And if I won my game, I would win, you know, I would win a playoff spot in the league. The NFFC only gives you two spots, best record and then remaining most points. And that's my focus. You know, you never think you have a chance to win $100,000. You just want to make the playoffs and go from there. Try to win your $1,600 for starters. And I choked week 13. Well, my players choked. I couldn't do nothing about it. But 103 points. And the guy who I needed to lose then because I lost, he won, and I get nothing. I get third place. I get no money, and I'm ticked off about it because I'm like I was sitting in 69th place out of 1872 going in, and I dropped all the way to 152nd. So here I am not getting any money. I get a congratulations post from Tom and Greg at the NFFC, congratulations, four of your teams have made the championship round, and I come back with a post, what's that going to do for me? I didn't get any money in this one league. I'm like, only two of my teams made the league playoffs. I don't get no money. I'm like, what good is it to make? I'm not going to finish in the top 25.
Right.
I mean, I literally made that post that I am not going to finish in the top 25, and then, boom, you know, I get first and fourth. But week 14, my team that finished fourth actually posted a 210 and was in first overall. And my team that finished first, I think, scored 191, I believe. And that moved me to 15th. And then week 15, they reversed. My team that won it moved up to second, and my other team dropped to eighth. And week 15, just a real quick thing here, I killed myself for a week for it. The NFFC has two ways to put your lineup in, one for your league playoffs, one for your overall. Well, that team didn't make my league playoffs, so when you go to put it in, the lineup looks the same. There's no opponent. And, of course, you know, on the site, it definitely looks different when you click on it. But I went in, and I must have put in Janikowski in the wrong lineup. So Sunday's going on, week 15. He's kicking all these 50-yard field goals, and I – go to check my live scoring page, and Tucker's in my lineup. And so I lost 14.3 points. Yeah, and so for a week, everyone I talked to, I'm like, yeah, I'm in second place, but I instead of being 4 points out, I'm 18 points out because I stupidly put Janikowski in the wrong lineup. So we get to
Henry, if I was to call you Justin throughout the entire show, would you be mad?
Justin Tucker.
No, that'd be fine.
Or Verlander. Is that Verlander?
So
that's a great
16,
story.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't great at the time, but you know, all ends well, you know. But I get to week 16, and Saturday, I have nobody going on either team. So, you know, having two teams right there, second and eighth, you know, I'm just feeling like, okay, you know, I don't think I'm going to win. I was shooting for second place. I'm like, you know what? I lost the 14 points. You don't recover from that. If I can hold on to second, because I was like 20 points ahead of third, if I can hold on to second, I'll be happy at this point with that screw-up. So Saturday, boom, Matt Ryan blows up. Roddy White blows up. Calvin blows up. You know, I go check the standings after the game. I'm in 15th place. I don't even know where my other team was. It was no longer in the top 20. So I'm like, okay, screw this. You know what? I got three Dynasty FFPC leagues, two local Dynasty leagues, and a couple other leagues that I'm playing in. I'm going to watch those on Sunday. I'm not even going to look. I'm not even going to look at the standings on Sunday. So So I go through and I'm watching the games. I have no clue what's going on. I don't. All I know is I'm rooting against Peterson because of the top six teams, they all had Peterson except for me going into week 16. So I'm not even paying attention except for I know I want Peterson to do bad and I want my players to do good. So my team that was in second wasn't even doing good. It had like 137 points. I lost one of my dynasty leagues by Murray getting a 20-yard field goal blocked and Arizona scoring a touchdown. So now I'm all pissed off about that. I finished in second in all three of them. None of them had players in the Sunday night, so I knew those were all done. I only won like one league out of the five that I was playing for dynasty. And I'm like, you know, it's 8 o'clock, screw it. Let me check the standing, see where I'm at. And boom, I'm in second and fifth. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, so now I get Electric Relish. He calls me just as I'm checking this. Because me and Relish, we play a couple teams together every year. We always do great and then somehow lose in the playoffs. And it's ridiculous. But we're sitting there and I'm like, man, you got to see this. I'm in second and fifth. I'm like, hold on, let's see who these guys got. And I go and look at the very first team and he's got Crabtree. And I'm like, ah. I'm like, come on. I don't want these guys to have anybody, you know. So then I go, my team that was in second was the team that finished in fourth, and I had Seattle defense. And then the third-place guy, nobody, fourth-place guy, nobody, and then my fifth-place team had Lynch. So I go through the top 50, and I have to go through these one by one because it's not like the FFPC, which is a nice board. So I got to go through one by one, and the only other team that mattered, the guy was in like 14 points behind me, he had Crabtree and Lynch. So as soon as I saw that, I knew, unless Seattle blew up, Lynch had to score, like, maybe 15 points more than Crabtree, and Crabtree couldn't score more than 14.5. So now the NFFC has a leaderboard that only updates every hour, and when it updates, it's not even accurate. It's still behind. So I break out the spreadsheet, and I put in all the teams, and every single play that Lynch or Crabtree or Seattle D scored, I add up the 0.1, the 0.3, and I got like 20 guys emailing me from work and friends talking, you know, calling and stuff. And I'm sitting there, okay, I'm up 0.1, I'm down 0.3, because Lynch scored those two touchdowns right off the bat. And that was the moment when he scored his second touchdown. I said, you know what, I got a chance. Because going in, needing 20-some points from Lynch against the San Fran D, you're like, it's not going to happen. But boom, two touchdowns right away, and I'm like, you know what? I got a chance. And that's when I first felt like I really, truly had a chance. Even when I was in first and second for 3 weeks, I never felt I had a chance.
Hey, so, I'm going to tell you what, you know, Henry. Just right now, Scott, that right now is the greatest five-minute breakdown of what it feels like to be that close and to get over the top or to be that close and not quite make it there, Henry. That's awesome. I mean, that's awesome to the feeling you get when you're right there and then when you get over the top. I mean, how did you feel once it finally happened? You knew you were a champion. It's like, what?
Well, okay, going into the fourth quarter, I was holding a slim lead, 1.89, I believe. And San Fran has the ball, 7 minutes to go. I knew pretty much Seattle's done. Lynch ain't playing again. He's not going to play another play. It's 42.
Right, yep.
I hold a 1.89 lead. I hold a 1.89 lead. But if I factor in the Seattle points that I'm going to get for holding San Fran to six, I was technically in first and second at that moment of time. And so now, as the drive started to develop, first thing, I'm watching Crabtree everywhere on the screen. Where is he at? Where is he at? Okay, run the ball. Don't throw it to the side, you know? And then they get to the 11. Crabtree hasn't caught a pass. I'm still first and second, technically.
But you're not getting greedy here, man. Henry, you're not getting greedy here, are you? You're in the back of your mind, you're like, I don't care as long as I win this thing. If I get second grade, I want to win.
At that point, I was like, someone score a touchdown, just don't be Crabtree. You know, they hand the ball off, I think it was on second down. I'm like, score, score. They hand the ball off on third down. I'm like, score, score. And then there's a flag, and it's fourth and 17. I'm like, wait a second. At that moment, I'm like, I can get first and second. At that moment, I'm like, now I want it. Now I want first and second. So So I see Crabtree line up to the right. They go back. He Kaepernick scrambles to the right. He throws towards the end zone, and somebody catches a touchdown, and I can't see the number for a second, and I freak out. I'm like, ah! And then it was 46, and I'm like, I just lost 20 grand, but I just won 100 grand, so I'm good. And I just started running around the house screaming like, I can't. And then immediately I'm like, wait, they could go for two. I can run back in. Okay, no, the kicker's on the field. I'm like, no, wait, they could kick an onside kick. No, they kicked it deep. And I'm like, okay, now it's over.
Woo.
I'm like, wow. And the feeling just, and then I'm getting emails from everyone, calls from people. And it was the greatest feeling, especially because in 2003, in the Fantasy Jungle's first year, there were 72 teams. I did a strategy at the time that nobody would do. I drafted four receivers out of the box. I was the only team out of the 72 to do it. People were calling me dead money on the message board before the year started, and I was in first place in that league in fourth quarter with 8 minutes to go and ended up third by 6 points. And I played the wrong kicker in defense in that league, and it stuck with me for 10 years until a couple weeks ago.
Finally got that back. He got it back, man. Congratulations. That's huge.
What a breakdown. I love it.
I don't even think I could handle it. Being in that position at the end of week 16 in a tournament that we love, something like that, I don't think I could even handle it. I think I'd be passing out. I just wouldn't. I'd have to turn the TV off, or I'd throw something through the TV. Every time they looked at Crabtree, if that was the end, I would just be scared to death that Crabtree was going to get it. You know, I would be in a panic and I'd be just drenched of sweat. It would just be very bad news for me. But I've got heart issues as it is. I can't handle something like that. It'd be too stressful. So I've never won it, and it's probably because I can be here still on Red versus Blue. You know, I'd probably, man, I felt like I was right.
One catch for 9 yards on the final drive, and I was toast. That's all he needed.
Henry, that is a beautiful breakdown, and I wish that a lot of mid-stakes, high-stakes listeners could hear that, because that's what it's all about. I mean, it can be stressful, but it's a lot of fun at the end of the day, and it just tells you what can happen if you decide to go ahead and enter these contests. So that's great, Henry. That's an awesome breakdown. Awesome.
Well, I tell you what, and I'm looking at the draft board here, and this is Wyverns, right? So
yeah.
You went Brady and Gronk, and then Lynch came back with Decker, Lloyd, Wayne. Wayne is obviously a killer pick for you. Donald Brown obviously didn't come through like you had hoped. And then you grabbed Spiller. So, and then LeSure later. So when I look at that draft, you know, Spiller, LeSure, Lynch, Decker, Lloyd, Wayne, Gronk, Brady, that's the lineup, right?
Right.
Okay.
That's the lineup. And, of course, Gronk got hurt. And luckily, the guy who had Pitta had waived him.
Whoa.
And I grabbed him for like $8.
Wow.
Pitta saved me. Because without Gronk, I was down to like Dallas Clark.
Yeah.
Mercedes Lewis was on my roster at one moment. And getting Pitta, he blew up week 15. And then the big pickup for me, the pickup of the year, the luck pickup, Marino. McGahee goes down. I have $170. Two teams have more money than me. A guy I'm playing in week 13 that I have to beat to get in has more money than me, decides to split his money. And I go 160, and I get Marino, and he split his money. He went 129 on Marino and 129 on Henny. So he got Henny, didn't get Marino. And Marino scored me like 65 points in the playoffs. A critical decision. I mean, now it looks like, oh, yeah, that was an easy decision. But a critical decision. I didn't play Marino week 14. Week 14, LeSure or Marino. And that was a 21-point swing.
Yeah, man. You know what? So it was not only about the draft, Mike, but it's also about the starting lineup decisions and the waiver wire and the use of that money. It all kind of comes into play with this game of skill that we love so much in fantasy football. Pitta had a huge week 15. He did. He came through. Didn't have as big a week 16, but I'm right there with you, man. I had Pitta on my RT Sports Championship team, and he came through and saved me because I had drafted Gates in that league and was thinking that he was a stud going to be in the preseason. You're like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and spend a pick on Gates, and wow, what a disappointment he was. So Pitta did save my season as well. And I was in a similar boat with you in that game. I had Lynch in the FFPC Dynasty, the 1250, and I was Lynch against Gord. It was tie ball game between me and Quick Six, Joe Jefferson. We were tied up going for the league title, and it was I had Lynch, he had Gord, and I sat down at the table right at the bar. And as soon as the last table, Mike, and Henry, the last table is open, and I grab it, and I look right in front of me, and the table right in front of me is, I kid you not, a guy wearing a Frank Gore jersey. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Here I am playing against Frank Gore for the title, and the guy right in front of me is wearing a Gore jersey, and I'm waiting for all my Seahawk fans, my guys, to come at the table, meet me, so we can watch the game together. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. But luckily for us, for you, for me, Henry, Lynch came through, saved the season, and what a memory. You got to get you a Lynch jersey now, man. Got to get you a Lynch jersey.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, I got like 30 jerseys right now, so.
Hey, you're 31.
31, that's right.
Henry, I mean, you have to.
Henry Muto is our guest here, winner of the National Fantasy Football Championship. Had a first-place team and a fourth-place team with over 1,800 teams, I think he said. 1,800 teams, $100,000, plus another $10,000 prize right at fourth place. $110,000 a year for Henry in just two online leagues. And that's the way it's done. The roster is posted right here on Red versus Blue. Henry, let's get this out of the way as well. I know you're in your local league and you know that your friends and the people that you hang out with maybe at work or in family. What do they say now that you've been a world champion and you're getting a check for $100,000? Have you got that check yet, or is it coming in the mail or what?
It's supposed to be a couple weeks near the end of January. I should get it. So
what are they? What are they saying?
Yeah, I've been playing with these guys, some of them for all 23 years, you know, at first they're like, you know, they didn't believe it. Like, people were like, get out of here, you didn't win that. But other people who I started making them aware after I was in first place with my team, my other team, you know, after week 14, I started making people aware. And then week 15, I definitely, you know, they were like, you know, some of them were definitely following along, like, wow. But one of the funniest stories is my one dynasty one. I've won 7 times in 15 years, so everyone hates me in it. And the guy I'm playing, you know, he wants to beat me bad. And I have Arian Foster, and they pull him from the game, and I'm livid because I don't even know what's going on in the big money, and I want to win this. I don't care about the $300 for the league, but I want to win the title. And the guy, they pull Foster, and I end up losing because of that. And this guy is, like, you know, talking it up, how he beat me. And then I go and find out, you know, you don't know this stuff, what's going on. But the guy who finished third had Foster, and he lost to me by less than 4. And Foster scored 3.9 in the NFFC, and his previous low was 13. Like, that's a miracle. They pull him from the game for an irregular heartbeat. I don't win the 100,000 if he gets 4 more points. So at the time, I'm mad I lost because of it. And then I'm like, oh, you know, in retrospect, thank God they pulled him. And I tell this guy, you know, like, congrats on your win, but I'm taking home 100,000. He doesn't even, like, congratulate me. He's like, I beat you. That's pretty funny.
Wow. Jeez.
Stories, man.
This has been great, Henry. We've appreciated you being on. Let's go over the predictions for the game this weekend. You've obviously have some teams at stake here, and there's a lot riding on these games. Mike, the first game of the weekend, I want you to, if you can get your spreads pulled up here for us on Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, Baltimore at Denver. Ray Lewis coming to Mile High and taking on Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's not your typical cold weather quarterback, Mike. What's the spread in this game, over under, and what's your pick?
Baltimore or Denver is a 9-point favorite. The over and under is 46. I like Baltimore. I would say that because in the fantasy playoff draft, I took a lot of Ravens. But the reason I like Baltimore in this game is their defense is better, even though Ray Lewis is a little banged up, but he's still there. It's a presence of him being there. Slow starts by Denver. Denver tends to – they don't start a game out real hot. So kind of worried about that as far as Denver goes. And I think Ray Rice can, hey, diddle, Ray Rice up the middle. I think Ray Rice can get something done up the middle. So I like Baltimore plus the 9, and I like the over 46 in that game.
All right. Henry, I'm gonna pass it to you after I break this down here. Look, for the Broncos to get past the Ravens and give McGahee his postseason shot, right? That's coming up next week if they can get there. They've got to keep their word, okay? I think at the end of the day, the matchup favors them in most of the categories. They're at home. They have an 11-game win streak. Peyton Manning at quarterback and the number 2 defense in the league. So I think the only things that can really derail them are turnovers, right? That always happens in playoff games. If you have turnovers, you're going to lose the game. But only 6 teams lost more fumbles than the Broncos this season, and none of the 6 made the playoffs. For them to play the role, they have to control. They have to keep the ball, right? And then the second thing I think they have to do, they've got to take Ray Rice out of the mix. They can't take their eyes off of Ray Rice. You saw what happened this past weekend when the Colts played a great game against Ray Rice. Had a great game going, and they kept it up all game. One play away, bam, catch you 50 yards, and you're done. You're toast, and they have the momentum. So I think at the end of the day, I like the Broncos to win, and I like them to cover. I think the Broncos will show up for this game. I'm not sure about next week. I'm going to take it one game at a time with the Broncos that I see. But a 9-point spread just begs you to take the Ravens. That's usually when I go the other way and I say, you know what, it doesn't look right. That's why I'm going to take Denver minus 9. Henry, what's your pick here?
Well, I'm not good at picking games at all, but I'd pick the Broncos here to win. I'm not sure they cover the 9, but, you know, this Peyton Manning thing just seems destined this year to go to the Super Bowl the way, you know, everything's felt for him.
Yeah. No, Mike, I don't know. You know, at the end of the day, we have to think about the Peyton Manning face, right? Does Peyton deliver, or does he come through with that classic Peyton playoff face we've all known to love or hate? You know, you see that face of Peyton Manning when he just shaking his head in the defense, cold weather games. You remember those Patriot games in the cold weather in the snow?
Yeah.
Jeez, and you know that game. You know, I want to give it. I want to give shouts out right now to Hungry Hippie. You remember Hungry Hippie, Matt Holbrook?
Yeah.
You remember Matt on the show? He did one of the playoff teams for Jim Perrone, and he after the show, after Red vs. Blue last Friday night, I went over there. We talked. We set up his lineup, and he was. I was like, okay, who do you want at each position? Here's how you do it. You lay out your playoffs, and then you lay out your positions, and he adamantly said up and down he wanted Bolden over Ray Rice. He just felt that was the way the games were going to break out and that's the way they were going to shape up. He picked Bolden, and I tried to talk him out of it. You know, I just tried to talk common sense into him, and he's like, nope, not doing it. I want Bolden. And we wrote the name Bolden down, and he's been right so far through the first week. So way to go for Hungry Hippie. Second game of the weekend, Mike, Green Bay at San Francisco. Will Coach Harbaugh be proven right with his choice for Colin Kaepernick over Alex Smith? Mike, what's the line and the spread, and who you got?
The line is San Francisco is a 3-point favorite. The over and under is 25. I love Green Bay in this game. I really do. Even though I drafted Frank Gore in one of the fantasy challenges, I really love Green Bay in this game. Experience from the quarterback position, that to me, that means a lot. You know, they can be explosive at any time. I think the defense can contain Kaepernick because it's going to end up being a drop back position. Because if Green Bay puts Kaepernick in a drop back position, then that game's over.
So
I really like Green Bay, and I like the under. And it sounds kind of weird, but I just like the under 45.
Breaking news.
Weather. You just don't know what's going to happen with the field and the weather. But, rookies hurt me, and I love Green Bay plus 3 and the under 45.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and take look, this is a rematch from week one, right, in Green Bay, 30-22 victory for the Niners. And that was with Alex Smith, you know. And I do think the Packers have hit their stride. They've won 10 of their last 12 games, right? They've scored at least 21 points in all but one of them. And Aaron Rodgers put together a season that looks like his 2011 campaign, very similar. But it just seems to me that this matchup is all about Kaepernick versus the Packer defense. And Kaepernick is a very multi-dimensional player. The Packers have had a week to devote to film study of Kaepernick. That will help. But he'll have rushing yards. He'll throw the ball. Much better athlete and player than Webb. I guess you could see some similarities there. But you also have Frank Gore in the backfield. And I just think that Green Bay struggles without a ground game. Now, can you say that they have a ground game? Maybe. DeJuan Harris. But against the Niners, really? It just seems like the Packers have a very good offense, but when it comes time for the playoffs, except for that one magical ride that they had, they're very one-dimensional, and it's all about the front four for San Fran. They're going to stick it to that ground game. They're going to be able to play that, and that's all they're going to have to do. Everybody else is going to drop back, and you're going to have to beat them. And they've got four wide receivers to do it. They've got a tight end that can do it. They've got plenty of weapons, but they're going to have to prove that they can beat San Fran in San Fran. I just don't see it happening. I think they're good, but I think they're very one-dimensional. I think the reason why Seattle gives the Niners fits is because you got Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. You've got a ground game, and they can push you and punch you in the mouth through the ground, and then they can make you respect the run a little bit more, and not just with four guys, with more. You got to stop the run, and then Russell Wilson burns you. He's very multidimensional as well. He can run, he can throw, and he can do the things he needs to do to make plays, and they've got a heck of a defense too. So I think that's why the Niners always have trouble with Seattle. They have trouble with a good ground game in that dynamic offense. That's why Seattle's going to be very tough out this year. But I think Niners move on, and they cover that spread, Mike. But also, Koken, he emailed me. He said, wait, Scott, don't take -3. You can probably get 2.5 or, 2.5 by game time, 8 o'clock Eastern. If you can wait, 2.5 would be a much better number than 3, and players love that. Henry, you got a pick for us?
I went with Green Bay to make the Super Bowl, so I'll pick with Green Bay. And whichever team has to kick a field goal to end the game is probably going to lose because both those kickers have been missing all year.
Yeah. Man, it is. You can't go wrong. If you've already picked your playoff team with the Packers to go all the way, that's the way you're going. And look, I can't blame you one bit. It's not nothing wrong. DeJuan Harris scored the most of any Packer for fantasy playoff teams. So if you drafted that guy, he was a late pick in our drafts. So congrats for the hot start. But for the wide receivers, who knew week to week who it's going to be? This week, Rodgers had 19 points. He swung it to Jennings for 10, James Jones for 9, Jordy for 8, and Cobb, geez, 2 points. So what a mess. Finley, I don't know where he's at. And then you look at Vernon Davis. I don't understand. Can somebody in the chat room tell me what happened to Vernon Davis? Where did the guy go that won playoff games last year in the playoffs, big games, and was the MVP type for San Fran? Is he just becoming a team player for the Niners, and he's just doing whatever's asked of him? Or is Harbaugh sitting back with Vernon Davis and getting ready to unleash the beast? That's what's going to be exciting for me to see. I can't wait to find out what happens here. Will Vernon Davis come back and become the Vernon Davis of last year's playoff because he has a heck of a quarterback? And maybe the story's Crabtree, Mike. Crabtree, number 15 in the Henry story, right? He's a guy that has looked phenomenally better than he did the last couple of years. So Crabtree, it looks like Kaepernick have a very good chemistry there. So Green Bay has to be very worried about what Kaepernick can do with Crabtree. So that will be a heck of a game.
Yeah, thank God the season ended week 16 for fantasy. I think that guy scored a 260. I'm not kidding, 260.
Jeez, they're right. You're right. He went nuts week 17. Jeez. All right, here we go. Mikey, Sunday, January 13th at 1 o'clock, Seattle at Atlanta. Give us the spread and the over-under. And who's your pick?
Real simple. Atlanta's a 3-point favorite. The over and under is 46. I'm going against the grain here. I love Atlanta in this game. Atlanta -3 for a couple simple reasons. Seattle has confidence. They got Lynch. They got Wilson. But when was the last time they faced a formidable passing attack that they're getting ready to face against Atlanta. Atlanta at home, Matty Ice is strong. He's solid. You know, you talk about Julio Jones, Roddy White, and if he needs to check down to Tony Gonzalez, they can rush the ball a little bit just to keep Seattle honest, but when was the last time Seattle's DBs checked out somebody like those guys? I love Atlanta -3, and I love the under 46.
All right. This is a great game. I can't wait. This is actually the game of the week for me. I love it. You've got so many different storylines here. We've got 6 minutes to go on Red vs. Blue. Henry Muto has been our guest. Fantastic winner in the NFFC, $100,000. Two teams in the top five. This is the Falcon-Seahawks game. And let's get this out of the way first. This is Matt Ryan and Mike Smith, right? The Falcons, with those two guys, they're 33-6 at home. And we're all aware that two of those six losses have come when the losses mattered most, right? They were on the road during the playoff loss to the Giants last year. But still, home record, pretty significant. And look, if Atlanta drops this one, Matt Ryan will become the first quarterback in NFL history to lose his first four playoff starts during the modern era. I mean, that would be incredible for him to lose his first. The next storyline that I see is very important. The Seattle cornerbacks against these Atlanta wide receivers. Isn't this the big storyline? I mean, when you think about Seattle, you think of Browner and Sherman. And then in Atlanta, you think of Roddy and Julio. So that matchup is going to be fantastic to watch. Browner will probably most likely be lining up against Julio from what I've read. And then, you know, you've got Sherman against Roddy White. Oh, man, what a matchup this is. So, Mike, what could be the answer? It may be Tony Gonzalez, could be the crucial spot, but it could be Harry Douglas. He hasn't played a lot, and he's a distant fourth option behind those three guys. He's only appeared on the field 55% of the Falcons' offensive snaps. Only 39 catches this year. You might see something come from Harry Douglas, and so going to be very interesting to see. And then this whole Russell Wilson. I mean, the story could be Russell Wilson. You know, you got Marshawn Lynch, you got all this, the Seattle defense, but have we seen a guy that's looked this good, much less a rookie? And I don't even have the stats in front of me, but I think it was in the second half of the year, he's went like 23 touchdowns and 6 interceptions or something like that, or less, or 2 interceptions. It's been incredible. So that's going to be a matchup. I am just so dying to pick the Seahawks here to win this game. I'm kind of rooting for Atlanta. In a way to be like, get off the schneid. But I'm going to go ahead and say it. Seattle wins the game, pulls the upset, and beats Atlanta. And we have an opportunity to see that one game that everybody wants to see. It's the rematch of the referee debacle, the Seattle-San Fran game. That would be something very special to watch. So I am taking Seattle. Henry, who's your pick?
I'll take Atlanta.
All right. No,
I'm not much for predicting the game.
That's all right, dude. That's all right.
My big play is coming up here.
All right, Mike. 4:30 Sunday afternoon, Houston at New England. Run it down.
All right, I'm going to run it down real quick. Points will be scored. A ton of points will be scored. The spread right now is New England -9.5. The over and under is 48.5. I like a lot of games. I know I said I love this game. I love that game. But my big play is the over 48.5 in this game. And I'll tell you why. Points will be scored. Houston will be able to run Foster quickly. They're going to make sure that Arian Foster gets his moves up through the middle and outside the tackles. It's not the same team. You know, as last time. So, New England, they're going to score, but they may not be able to run, but they're going to be able to score late and do what it takes. I see this game being kind of a, I don't know, a 41-37, 41-35 type deal. It's going to be high octane.
We've got 1 minute left to go in the program. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to keep it short and sweet. I hate the Patriots. I think they suck. I think they're terrible. I don't think they're worth anything. They're worth crap. You got Rob Gronkowski that's pretty much not healthy. That's going to be the story of the game. You're going to see if he can go out there and be at a full strength. But I just don't think that your first week back, you're going to be at full strength in this type of a situation. He's had plenty of time, but I think at the end of the day, Houston's going to pull the upset. J.J. Watt And that Arian Foster, Andre connection. Matt Schaub is back in the playoffs. I think he does it. Henry, who's your pick? Real quick, 10 seconds.
New England by double digits.
All right. That's it, guys. Thanks for being a part of it. Henry, thank you for being here. We'll see you guys
next
Friday night on Red vs. Blue. Thank you, crew. Chat room. We'll see you guys. Henry, congrats, buddy.
You've been listening to Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.
All right, Mike, we are right here in overtime. That was a huge show. Very happy for Henry. Let's just finish up that game a little bit. The Texans looked dominant for most of the day, and they only squeaked by the Bengals, right? Law firm had eight fantasy points, I think, for the Bengals. Dalton less than seven. Gresham two. You know, that was your pick, remember, by the way. Sorry to bring that up. A.J. Green doesn't even get a target in the first half. Who's to blame for that? Why doesn't A.J. Green get a target or a catch or anything? Who's to blame? Where are you at, Dalton? So, you know, those who drafted A.J. Green in our playoff contest looking for a 30-burger, they were disappointed. While Foster went nutso, Owen Daniels went nutso, Shane Graham went nutso, and Andre just had a, you know, he didn't do much. But I think he's primed for a big game against the Patriots. The question is, can they pull off the upset?
You know, I think Arian Foster is going to be a huge, he's going to be huge in this game. He can set the tone to open it up for Andre Johnson and everybody else involved. I just do. I got one quick question.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco or Matt Schaub? Who do I start at quarterback?
Matt Schaub, man. Matt Schaub,
okay.
Right? I mean, all you got to do is look at your you've got your Joe Flacco over-under of 46, and the spread is 9, so they think that game's going to be 25-15, right? No, 27-17. Yeah, something like that. So they're only predicting 17
okay.
points or so.
The reason I'm asking is, do I go all in with because I have Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith?
Oh, you're talking about for your draft contest. Well, look, I think for you to win, you have to have a big day for your Baltimore Ravens. So you got to go all in. You got to shove your chips in, man.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking. All right, that's the reason I ask. I have Joe Flacco. He's in my starting lineup, but I had to ask a question because I wasn't so sure. I mean, even though Matt Schaub could be there, but if I'm going all in, I mean, having Flacco, Ray Rice. I got Flacco, Ray Rice, Anquan Boldin, Torrey Smith, Justin Tucker, Baltimore defense. I mean, I'm all in.
Yeah, you are. You're all in, man. It's going to be an exciting contest. You know, Team Cruiser leads the way, 152 points. He has six Texans in, along with a few Packers and Boldin. So he has a very good shot, if the Texans win, of keeping up his team, you know. SBFFC, Brian Harwood. Green Bay must lose for Harwood to have a chance because he has Kaepernick and Crabtree. You have to hope that, you know, if you're him, you have to have a Green Bay loss because there's plenty of teams that have all Green Bay. And
I got Frank Gore as my running back as well. So I'm all Baltimore and San Francisco tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, Mikey, it's been a fun show. Thanks for being on. We've got a couple of big things coming up that we're real excited about to release. And what's the score of that game? Let's check it out. Dave Kokum said that the LA Lakers was the play +6. And they're in trouble, 64-48, but that's only at the end of half, the first half. So let's see what happens. That game was tied, but it looks like OKC kind of lit on fire here. So LA has a little bit of work to do.
Yep, never know.
All right, man.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
We'll see you next week.
All right, man. I got to wish me good luck in the draft in the morning.
baseball. Good luck, buddy.
I'll talk to you. Bye. Bye.